ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। This morning we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 1, Text 42, The History of the Life of Ajamil. Suryognikam Marudeva Soma Sanjahani Visha Kam Kusvayam Dharma Iti Yete dayasya sakshina Suryognikam marudeva Soma sanjahani disha Kam kusvayam dharma iti Yete dayasya sakshina Suryognikam marudeva Soma sanjahani disha Kam kusvayam dharma iti Yete dayasya sakshina Sanjanani Disha Amko Svayam Dharma Iti Yete Dayasya Sakshina Mariji Soma Sanjahani Disha Kam kusvayam dharma iti Yete dayasya sakshina Soma sanyahani disha Kam kusvayam dharma iti Yete dayasya sakshina Soma sanjahani disha Kam kusvayam dharma iti Surya The sun god, Agni, the fire, Kam, the sky. Marut, the air. Deva, the demigods. Soma, the moon. Sandhya, evening. Ahani, the day and night. Disha, the directions. Kam, the water. Ku, the land. Svayam, personally. Dharma, Yamaraj or the Supersoul. Iti, thus. He, indeed. Ete, all of these. Tayasya, of a living entity, embodied in the material elements. Shakshina, witnesses. Translation. The sun, fire, sky, air, demigods, moon, evening, day, night, directions, water, land, and Supersoul himself all witness the activities of the living entity. Translation, please repeat. The sun, fire, sky, air, demigods, moon, evening, day, night, directions, water, land, and Supersoul himself all witness the activities of the living entity. Purport. The members of some religious sects, especially Christians, do not believe in the reactions of the karma. We once had a discussion with a learned Christian professor who argued that although people are generally punished after the witnesses of their misdeeds are examined, where are the witnesses responsible for one's suffering the reactions of past karma? To such a person, the answer by the Yamadutas is given here. A conditioned soul thinks that he is working stealthily and that no one can see his sinful activities, but we can understand from the Shastras that there are many witnesses, including the sun, fire, sky, air, moon, demigods, evening, day, night, directions, water, land, and the Supersoul himself, who sits with the individual soul within his heart. Where is the dearth of witnesses? The witnesses and the Supreme Lord both exist, and therefore so many living entities are elevated to higher planetary systems or degraded to lower planetary systems, including the hellish planets. There are no discrepancies, for everything is arranged perfectly by the management of the Supreme God. Svabhaviki jnana bala kriyacha. The witnesses mentioned in this verse are also mentioned in other Vedic literatures. Aditya chandra anilo nalascha yo bhumya po ridayam yamascha ahascha ratris cha ubhe cha sandhe dharmapi janati narasya vritam. Suryogni kam maru deva soma sandhyahani disha kam ku svayam dharma iti yete dhyasya shakshina. The sun, fire, sky, air, demigods, moon, evening, day, night, directions, water, land, and Supersoul himself all witness the activities of the living entity. So Yamadutas speaking, we can understand that Yamadutas are actually very learned, although the descriptions in the Shastra that they are very hideous looking, they are not very beautiful persons. And in fact, actually, they are very ugly and horrible to look at, with their hair standing on the end and very deformed features and very powerful and strong. They come for the sinful living entities to take them to the Yamaraj. But somehow or other, they are also very learned. They are very devoted to their Lord and Master, Lord Yamaraj. And we see here in the pages of the Srimad Bhagavatam how they are speaking such high philosophy. And they are understanding so many things of the goings on of the universe. Here they are saying they are questioning the Vishnu Dutas, why are you stopping us performing our duty? Our duty is to bring the sinful living entities to Yamaraj for the awardment of the punishment. So in the next verse also it's mentioned that those who have deviated from their prescribed regulative principles are those who engage in the sinful activities. They are subject to punishment according to their activities. So there are many witnesses to this. Not only now the Yamadutas are justifying their position. We know by the mercy of our master, we know what is going on and who to come for. But not only us, so many others are witnessing. In other words, why are you coming here? We have our duty. This Ajamil, he's been very sinful. And they knew also of his previous life. He was a Paka Brahmana. He followed everything. He lived Brahmachari life. He was very strict Brahmachari, following all the rules and regulations. He grew up. He performed the Dharma. Everything was very nicely, perfectly done by him. He had a very beautiful wife. But he deviated. He became a very... he saw the prostitute and one man embracing, and he became agitated, and gradually he brought that prostitute. He gave up the company of his beautiful wife, his family, and he went to live with her, and for a long time engaged in many sinful activities. So they knew all these things. All right, in the beginning he was like that, but now for so many years he's been engaging in the sinful activities. And so that means that he must be punished. That means we have to take him to the Yamaraj. And we know these things, and many others know these things. Here it is mentioned. Suryo, Agni, Kam, Marud, Deva, Soma. Surya knows. Agni knows. The sky. The demigod of the sky, the air. So many, moon, Chandra knows. All these demigods, all these personalities, later on in the next few verses, we'll read that Yamaraj, he also knows. Manas, by his mind, he is empowered by the Supreme God, Supersoul, to know the past, present, and future of the activities of everyone. So Yamaraj knows within his mind. We cannot understand these things. We don't know anything. Practically, we don't know what is going over here. What is going here? We don't know. But Prabhupada explains that Yamaraj, he is not ordinary living entity like us. He is very powerful, like Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma knows all things. Devas know, Agni knows all things. Surya knows all things. By their energy, just like now the sun is shining, the sun's rays are coming, Agni, the flames are everywhere, the heat is everywhere, air is everywhere, sky is everywhere. So we don't understand these things. Somehow by their energy, all pervasive energy, what is going in their mind, they understand. That is empowerment by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is within their heart, to be able to know these things so that they can also do their service. They can also do this. So they are the witnesses. People these days, especially in Kali Yuga, they are ignorant of all these things. They don't know how many, whether they're even their demigods, other beings in the universe. The scientists are trying to explore what is the cause of the creation. They are making that, what is that, in France they have that big reactor thing that smashes the atoms. No, not Big Ben. That smashes the atoms together. Yeah, and they smash it and they try to understand from this smashing of the atoms, and then they can try to understand the universe, and they try to do the research, and they speculate about these things. But all these things are already mentioned and described in Shastra already. Just that we have to accept. But whether you accept or don't accept, doesn't matter, they are existing. And here Prabhupada actually mentions there is no how does he put it? There's no discrepancies in this arrangement. There's no discrepancies. Someone is brought Everyone, so many witnesses are there, they know. So people are ignorant. And they're engaging in so many sinful activities. Maybe some people they know, maybe people in India they know. People had some education in these things. They had some training in these things, they understand. But still some who understand, still they're engaging in the sinful activities. Here Prabhupada uses the word I found very interesting. He uses the word stealthily. The condition soul thinks that he is working stealthily. Stealthily, and that no one can see his sinful activities. Stealthily. This is a very interesting word. Stealthily. Stealthily means just a very secretly, but very in a calculating way. Just like you may know, they have the Americans have the stealth bombers. The stealth bombers were developed in the 70s. They are the bomber that can fly very high in the sky, and they have got the technology. They cannot be very difficult for them to be detected by the radar. You know, generally they detect which planes are flying by the radar, by so many different techniques, and they can see which plane is coming. But the stealth bomber has such technology, they fly very high and they deflect the signal by their shape and all the different materials they use, and they absorb it and deflect it in so many different ways, and so no one, hardly they can tell that that plane is coming. So they call it the stealth bomber, and they're armed with the bombs and the nuclear weapons, and they can go to the enemy and they drop the bombs. And no one knows. Very secretly they go, but very calculated they go. They can pinpoint with precision accuracy, and they can put the bomb on your head. So stealthily. So people, unknowingly or knowingly, they're engaging in activities and very sinful activities, and they're secretly doing it, but calculating very carefully. No one will understand these things. I am doing secretly. This is the meaning of doing stealthily. A very interesting word used by Paul. So stealthily, the conditioned soul, those who are liberated, they understand these things. They understand how you cannot do anything secretly. Maybe your friend doesn't know. Maybe even your wife doesn't know. Your husband doesn't know. And you are doing something. But, of course, God knows. God knows all things. God sees all things. He knows your activities. He knows your activities better than you know your activities. We take pride. I know myself very well. No, you don't say anything. Don't give advice to me. I know. Why are you saying? But actually, we don't know. We don't know. We can't remember from 1 week before, 1 month before, or many years before, the childhood, and what to speak, many lives before. But Krishna knows. Krishna knows all these things. And not only that, but so many devas know and so many people know. So Prabhupada gives he refers to here one professor that when he was in the, you can read in the Leelamrita, this refers to Professor Urquhart. Prabhupada, in his college years, he went to the Scottish Church's College in Calcutta, in his college years. He was studying there, and he says that 90% of the professors, they were English professors. They also learnt Bengali. They could speak Bengali, but they were teaching in English. And one of the most eminent ones was the professor, Dr. Urquhart. And in this college, it was a Christian college, it was considered very upper class, and Prabhupada came through from the well-to-do family. In that time, he went to that college for his college years. And he said that they would go there and they would have to study the Bible also. Have to study the Bible. He mentions that twice or three times a week for half an hour to 45 minutes, they would have the Bible. They have to have the Bible class. Scottish Church's College. So they would learn the Bible, and Prabhupada would listen to that. And one time the professor, he was, because actually the strategy of the British was that bring their scholars, one of the strategies, bring their scholars, learn the language, learn the Bengali, learn the Hindi, learn the Sanskrit, and disprove all these things in the Shastra, or in the Veda. Learn these things. The academic, the big professors would come, read, learn the language, read the Sanskrit, the language, see all the stories, see all the instructions, and disprove it by their intelligence and bring everyone to the Christianity. That was the strategy, one of the strategies. So they brought all the academics across. So Prabhupada actually mentions they knew Bengali. They probably knew Hindi also. But they would teach in English. And so Professor Urquhart, one time, he knew that the Hindus believed in the karma. And there are some, especially some religious sects, especially Christians, some Christian sects, they don't place much importance in the karma. They're actually, many, especially the born-again Christians. The born-again Christians, they say you go to God only by the mercy of God. It is for no other reason. We also say like that. We also, by the mercy of God only, can you go to God. Only by His mercy. But also, God is looking on your actions. Therefore, Krishna said, as you surrender unto me, I reward you accordingly. I see your activities. God is like the father. Just like the father knows the activities of the children. Sometimes he gives, sometimes he doesn't give. Now, Prabhupada says that Professor Urquhart, he knew the belief of the Hindus in the karma, and he was trying to disprove it. But quite often, he would bring arguments and oppose the arguments to his students. Maybe, I don't know when it was, in the normal class or the Bible class. I don't know exactly when, and Prabhupada doesn't mention, but maybe it was in the Bible class. But he would say like that, you Hindus, you believe in the karma. But the karma means that if you get reactions for your actions, who is the witness to activities that can say, oh, he did like that, he did like that, therefore he has to get this reaction. In normal system, in law, if you're captured by the police and brought to the court, they bring the witnesses. And the witnesses can prove, oh, yes, he did, yes, I saw, yes, there is the evidence, like that. So this was his argument. That where is the witness? You are saying the law of karma, but who is the witness to all these activities? There's no witness. Prabhupada said that they would present arguments, but he said many of the students at that time were not so educated in Bhagavad Gita and these things, and they could not, they had a very difficult time arguing against this Professor Urquhart. But he said that, of course, we knew Upadashta Namantacha Bhattabhokta Mahisha Paramatmeti Chapnik Deismin Purushapada. There is another besides the Atma. He is not Atma, but he is Paramatma. He is the Supreme Atma. He is the witness of everything. He is the overseer of everything. He is the permitter of everything. He knows everything. He is the witness. And Prabhupada Upadashta, he mentions like that. And then he said, and there are so many other witnesses as confirmed here. Leela of Prabhupada, he, where he's speaking about Professor Urquhart, he goes on to say that, yes, everything is sanctioned or by God. Whether you are doing the good activity or whether you're doing the bad activity, all activities are sanctioned. Not a blade of grass moves without the sanction of God. So if someone wants to engage in activity, that has to get the Upadashtam Numanta. Paramatmeti Chapyuktu Dehismin Purushap. He is the Supreme. Without the sanction of God, nothing moves. So our good activities, that's sanctioned. And the bad activity, also sanctioned by God. So Prabhupada explains, how can one understand that? That even the bad activities are sanctioned by God. He said it can be understood in this way. Just like the child. The child is crying. Daddy, give me this, give me that. The father, he knows that is not very good for the son or the... I don't want to give. But the child is continuously crying, give me, give me. Then the father finally said, all right, that you can have. So Prabhupada says like that, that Krishna, unwillingly, he is sanctioned. Unwillingly. The sinful activities. He doesn't like it. But even the sinful activities are sanctioned by Krishna. Otherwise, how the souls can do it? You can't do anything. Even this body, we cannot move unless we get the permission of the Paramatma. That is why he's here. He is not just observing, he is also sanctioning and arranging. Sometimes we think of Paramatma as a very passive, just observing, witnessing. But he is also active. He is sanctioning and arranging everything. So any activity of the animal, of the deva, of us, good, bad, all is sanctioned. But the difference is that Krishna doesn't like the sinful activities, but because you're crying, you're so much stubborn on that, Krishna says, all right, take it, But you have to get the consequences. The consequences will be many things. So that is doing things without pleasing God. So, therefore you have to get reaction. So, some Christians, they think that they don't believe in the karma, the witness of anything. There are many who think that God will save us and we can do anything in life. We can do anything and at the end of our life we'll go to heaven. Isn't it? That's what they think. We'll just automatically go to heaven. Just like you sometimes you see so-and-so he died or so-and-so she died and they go to the funeral ceremony. They go, they make some prayer. Oh, now she's in heaven or now he's in heaven. What, automatically you'll go to heaven? We see like that. I recently went to a funeral and I knew the activities of this person and everyone was saying, oh, they're in heaven. And I was thinking, maybe not, he is in heaven. Maybe he's in another place. So some people think just automatically. Just like in the world, anything, automatically, just because you were born the son of the judge. Automatically you'll be the judge? Automatically. No. You have to work, you have to do things, you have to study, you have to pass the exam. You have to be observed, so many things. Not automatically. Even in your family is like that. Not automatically. So we shouldn't think automatically we will just go to the heaven. If we just surrender to Jesus, we will just go to the heaven. Others who don't surrender, they'll go to the hell. Those ones, they don't surrender, they'll go to the hell. And the ones who surrender, they'll go to the heaven, doesn't matter the activities. Doesn't matter, just surrender to Jesus, doesn't matter your activities, you can be the murderer. You surrendered, you'll go to hell. Maybe eventually, God's plan is like that. I remember Prabhupada one time, he gave a lecture in Melbourne. And he said like that, someone asked the question, your divine grace, it says in Bhagavad Gita that everyone follows the path of God. Prabhupada said, yes, everyone follows, but he said, but you don't like to quote the first half of that verse, that as you surrender, I reward accordingly. And he gave the example, he said, just like the skyscraper building. The skyscraper building, he said, you can, the 50-story, 70-story skyscraper building, if you want to go to the top, yes, if you take the stairs, you can go. And maybe at the end of the day, you will reach the office in the top. Or you can go by the elevator. And very quickly you will go to the top. So eventually, everyone will come to God. But in the meantime, they are getting the reactions, everything like that. So this is something we need to understand very carefully. Prabhupada was quoting Professor Urquhart and saying that, no, we, as devotees, we understand these things. So God is not sanctioning, He's sanctioning the sinful, but He doesn't like. But as devotees, we have to engage in devotional service that is pleasing to God. This is the difference between the sinful activities and the bhakti. Bhakti means that which is pleasing. Some city, haritosha, to please Hari, to please Krishna, just like today, they said this morning, it is... appearance of Radha Kund. Appearance of Radha Kund. We know this story of Radha Kund, that Leela, that Krishna in Vrindavan, so many Asuras were sent by Kamsa. This Aristasura came. Aristasura. He was in the form of the bull. So this Aristasura was sent by Kamsa to find the Krishna and kill Krishna. But we know that Krishna fought with him and just played with him. Played with him and running here and there, just throwing him. Took the horn and killed him. So after that, all the gopas, all the friends of Krishna, the gopis came, Radharani came, all these friends were very happy, oh, you killed the Aristasura, bull, you killed, but Radharani, she was having some pastime with Krishna, she said, oh, you have killed this bull, you have done sinful activity, you have killed the bull. But Krishna said, no, he was not bull. He was Asura in the form of the bull. No, you have killed the bull. So now, you have to purify yourself. You have to bathe in all the holy rivers of the universe. and then, maybe then, you'll be purified from this sin. So Krishna said, oh, So then why I should go all the places of the universe? Then I will just call them here. So he stamped his heel and made one indentation, and all the holy rivers personified came there and offered obeisances to Krishna. And Krishna said, please go inside this place here, because I have to take Radharani once we do take the bath, so then I can be purified. So this is how the story of the Shyamakund came. Shyamakund came like that. So then Krishna said, oh, you know, you took the side of this Asura, Aristasura, but now you have to share the sin. So you better you come and bathe also in the holy water. And Radharani said, no, we're not going to bathe. You have bathed in there and you were contaminated and now the whole water is contaminated. We're not going to bathe there. So we're going to make our own water. So she found one hoof print of the Aristasura. She broke her bangle and she started digging, and when the other gopis saw, they also broke and they were digging. So Krishna was watching. He was very amazed to see how big they made just by digging with the bangle. Very, very big. So he was thinking, well, they're working so hard. He said, let the waters of the my kun go in your kun now, so then you can... No, we're contaminated. We'll bring... I will send the gopis with the pots, the golden pot, and we'll go to the Manasi Ganga and they will bring the pots and we will fill. Like that. So Krishna was thinking, and he called all the holy rivers again, personified. They came to Srimati Radharani, and they paid their obeisances, and they asked one boon. Please allow us to go in your kund and do some service. Then our life, only then will our life become perfect. So then Radharani, being very merciful to all the holy rivers, all right, you can come in my kund. So then they broke through the Shyamakund and went into the Radhakund. So this is the way the Shyamakund was formed and the Radhakund was formed, in this way. And so Radharani, so Krishna was very happy. So then Krishna, he took his snan in the Radhakund. And he declared that anyone, especially on the appearance day of these Shyamakund and Radhakund, anyone who bathes in Radhakund today, therefore you'll find in the Radhakund in Vrindavan that many pilgrims will go there. Tonight is the time actually. This story is said to have happened at 11:45 p.m. night time. So generally they go in the night time. This is actually this is the Bahulastami. The Bahulastami means this: they go there to bathe in the midnight. In the midnight they go there. So I said, anyone who bathes in the Radha Kund on this day, they will attain the prema that Radha has for me. If you go and bathe today. And then Radharani, she went and bathed in the Shyamakund. And then she declared, and anyone who bathes in the Shyamakund, they will attain the love that Krishna has for me. So the pilgrims, they go, first they bathe in the Shyamakund, and then they go in the Radhakund. This is called the Snan Yatra. And the Bahulashtami is this event. And today is the appearance of the Radhakund and, of course, the Shyamakund. So this is the story. So anyone who does these activities, this is bhakti. There's a big difference between this activity and the sinful activity, isn't it? Sinful activity, all right, God sanctions, but he is not very pleased by that. But when you go and do these activities, you go in the holy month of the Kartik, we're just like every morning, we're doing the Dhammadarashtaka, we're offering the lamp. Oh, so much benefit. We're chanting the holy name of the Lord. We're doing the service. So much benefit. Krishna is very pleased. And actually, only by Krishna's pleasure, by Krishna's mercy, can we actually attain love of God. One time Prabhupada, Harisori told me the story, that one time Prabhupada... Harisori was talking to Prabhupada and he said that we see that many devotees, they leave the Krishna consciousness and they were sincere. Yes, maybe they were sincere, Prabhupada said, but actually in one sense they are not sincere because they made a promise. They made a promise to follow all these rules and regulations and to chant 16 rounds minimum every day. So that is sincere. He said, that is sincere if you follow like that. And Harisori said, yes, And then if they don't do like that, they will not attain the Krishna prema. He said, no. He said, Krishna prema, that is Krishna's business. That is Krishna's business. In other words, you just follow. And you please Krishna by your following. And then he bestows the Krishna prema on you. Then he is pleased. So the goal is, so in one sense we agree with the Christians, only by God's mercy, but also you cannot discount your activities and the reactions to your activities, as is pointed out by Prabhupada here. Some people say like that, this karma, this is non-existent, and they give so many arguments. But Prabhupada is giving the argument here, how we should understand. What is the difference between the favorable and the not favorable? What is pleasing to Krishna, what is not pleasing? We should always try to be in activities pleasing to Krishna. How do we know? If we please our guru, please the Vaishnavas, and do nice service, then that is pleasing to Krishna. Sinful activity, he sanctions. Otherwise, how it goes on? How the thief can go in the house and steal the things? God is allowing. He doesn't like, but he's allowing. Otherwise, he cannot do it. How someone becomes rich, how someone loses all the money, God is. But you are just independently, it is a misuse of your independence. So we should understand these things very nicely. Unfortunately, people are in ignorance, especially in the Western countries. Luckily, in India here, still the culture is there, some education, some understanding is there. But unfortunately, even knowing, one time, I get asked many times this question, Swami, they say, Swami, we are in the land of India, the land of the Dharma. We are knowing these things, but still we see so much of a problem here like that. What is the reason? I said, yes, you are knowing these things, but you are not following these things. That's the problem. You are knowing, but you're not following. Actually, for someone knowing, and still that doesn't follow, the reaction is more. Prabhupada would explain it. Because you knew, and still you did it. If you go to the court, and that is brought out, you will get more. If you're ignorant, still you'll get some, but if someone who knew, what do they call it, that they premeditated, they thought about it very carefully, still they did it, and they did it. So someone who knows and still, then they get more reaction. So better to know and then do the nice devotional service, take advantage of this Kartik season, Damodar, Radhakund. Unfortunately we're not in the Vrindavan to go to the Radhakund today. If many who are there can go to the Radhakund on this day and get so much benefit. As I said, those who bathe in the Radhakund, they will get to understand the prema of Radha. And those who bathe in the Shyamakund, they will understand the prema of Krishna for Radha. All these activities are good. This is favorable devotional service, and this is pleasing to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sri Krishna. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. I'll read this verse. Again, if anyone has any question or comment, you can ask. Suryogni kamarudeva soma sanjahani nishap kamkusvayam dharma iti hete dhyasya sakshinam. The sun, fire, sky, air, demigods, moon, evening, day, night, directions, water, land, and supersouling self all witness the activities of the living entity. Any questions or comments? Jagiva.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Maharaj, for your very forceful class. Maharaj is very enthusiastic. He's very contaminates us with his preaching enthusiasm. Thank you very much. Just one small comment. This verse is an answer by the Yamadutas to a question that the Vishnu Dutas made regarding what's the criteria for punishing someone. So as we know in justice, in order to prosecute someone, you need evidence. And evidence is taken from witnesses who give their testimony. So the Yamadutas are saying that our criteria for evidence are these different witnesses. And therefore, we can say who is punished and who is not punished. I just wanted to make that one point here.
Very good point. Yeah. Actually, in the next verse I mentioned earlier in the class, the candidates for punishment are those who are confirmed by these many witnesses to have deviated from their prescribed regulative duties. Everyone engaged in fruitive activities is suitable to be subjected to punishment according to his sinful act. Yes. So that highlights, that further explains what Jagdivan Prabhu was saying, that yes, they are confirmed by these many witnesses. So the Yamadutas are answering the question of the Vishnudutas. Any other questions? Yes, sir.
Thank you for the nice class, Maharaj, especially the your sharing with us the Radhakund and Shyamakund. Very nice. But I have heard devotees say that Srila Prabhupada said that that our devotees should not bathe in Radhakund. Do you have any light to shed on that? Are you up on that?
Well, I do, because I was one of the guilty party, actually. That we went to Shyamakund and Radha, and we were jumping in very irreverently and swimming and like we were in the beach. And that I can't remember what year that was, but it was early on. And we were doing like that. The report came back to Prabhupada, and we were splashing and very irreverently going in the Radhakund and Shyamakund. And came back to Prabhupada, was very disturbed that they are not showing the proper mood for bathing in Radhakund and Shyamakund. And you have to be reverential, pay your respect, not just diving like in the beach. And so in the future, he said that the devotees should just go and put the drops of the water on their head. And so I was there. Actually, I was one of the guilty party, and I always remember that. And I'm sure I got many sinful reactions for like that. But I know that was why Prabhupada said that, because when I came back, that was explained to us, and Prabhupada mentioned, brought it up in a class or something like that as well. So when we go to these holy places, we should be very careful. We shouldn't be just jumping, and we should be very respectful. And generally, pilgrims go and do the bathing very respectfully, but in order to highlight the irreverent attitude of his disciples, he actually made that from now on. In other words, he almost said, like, from now on, you should just put the drops of water on there. Don't even do the bathing. So I can shed some light on that particular incident. Yes, another question.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, wonderful class, thank you very much. If you cannot be present at Radhakund on that today's date, if you do Manasi at 11:45 as you mentioned, you get the same benefit, Maharaj, is that correct? If you do Manasi...
Well, if you're meditating that time, well, yes, if your meditation is very strong and powerful and you're meditating, just like who was it that was meditating on cooking the rice? The sweet rice? Was it Raghunatha? Oh. He was meditating and on cooking, and he put his finger to see if it was cooked, and when he looked at his finger, it was burnt. So yes, the meditation, if you can do like that, you can meditate on those things, benefit will be there. Benefit will be there.
Prabhuji, irrespective of the qualification, whether one is a devotee or not, can one bathe in Radhakund? Whether, even if he is not a devotee of the Lord, even if he is not surrendered to Krishna, can he bathe in Radhakund? Is it not an aparadh if one is not a devotee and one takes bath in Radhakund?
No. I mean, the going to all the holy places is meant for everyone. It is meant for everyone's purification. And therefore, Krishna has so kindly arranged all these nice places of Leela and the holy tirthas and the temples and all these things, not just for devotees, for everyone. So then, because even devotees, sometimes we're not doing nice activities, we can be purified. And those who are non-devotees, yes, they can go there and they will be purified of their sinful activities. So all these places, they are open to devotee, non-devotee alike. And so they will be benefited, and they will gradually be purified and come to the position of becoming devotees, either in this life or in the future life.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord says, ki, my devotees never perish.
Sorry, say again.
So,
in Bhagavad Gita what?
Bhagavad Gita, Lord says that my devotees, I protect my devotees. And why did Lord didn't protect Ajamal when he was in sinful activities? And at the end, Vishnu Dutas came and protected Lord.
You mean in the end? When he, Lord, in the end or when the Vishnu Dutas came, then they came for him or when?
My question
when
is
he was
not
engaging
over.
In the sinful activities.
Yeah, when he was engaging.
You heard my class. Krishna doesn't like.
No, no, he came at the end and protected
that's what I said.
Ajamal. Why he has not came
end?
In the front?
Huh?
Why he has not came when he was.
Because he chanted. He chanted the name of Narayan. He had one son.
But he used to chant in between. He used to call his son.
I can't hear you. You have to speak loudly.
He must have called his son many a times before going to the prostitution or before having the sinful activities.
Oh, why he didn't protect?
Why? Yeah.
Well, because he doesn't interfere with our independence. You cannot force someone to follow. You cannot force someone to love you. When someone gives protection, you have to know how to get the protection. And you have to follow that thing. Just like if the sun is shining, someone comes and offers the umbrella, you have to actually go under the umbrella and you have to stay under the umbrella. If you yourself want to come out of the umbrella, Krishna doesn't like, but that is your independence, that is your decision. So Krishna provides the protection, Krishna provides the shelter, but you have to come under the shelter and you have to stay under the shelter. Now, at some point, Arjumil made the decision. He was under the shelter, but at some point he made the decision, I want to come out. I want to go out from the shelter. I want to come out from the protection. I want to go in this direction. Therefore he was out. Therefore he has to get the reaction. Yes, any microphone?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. I was hearing one class in that. Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Where are you?
It's a little comment.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I was hearing one class in that he was telling why Krishna is, you know, he has used Ajamil to glorify the holy name of the Lord. How holy name is so valuable. So that is why he makes the instrument sometimes, like he made the instrument of Pandavas to teach how, you know, if you put on the side of the dharma, then you will be protected. The same way he made the instrument of Ajamil. That yeah. How he is a devotee,
you
but
heard,
still despite
you heard,
of...
You heard story like that?
No, it's like he said that this is why...
Who said that?
One devotee said that Krishna is, you know, sometimes he is utilizing his
duty. I have never read like that. As far as Ajumil, I have never... And in other stories like that, with Arjuna and everything, and other stories like that, sometimes Krishna arranges through his yoga maya that someone acts in a certain way. But as far as Ajumil, I have never read. Maybe there's some shastra that describes like that. I have never read that Ajamil was an arrangement of Krishna that to show some leela, to give some instruction, therefore he arranged that he falls like that. That is generally not like that. I find it very hard to believe that generally someone is put into the illusion, doesn't understand, but Krishna doesn't like to see the devotee engage in the sinful activities. To make arrangement to engage in the sinful activities, that is the choice of the individual. So Ajamil was more like that. He made choice. We cannot say that this was Krishna's leela. Have you read anything like that?
So this verse of Bhagavad Gita, apichet sudhuracharo bhajate mam apichet sudhuracharo bhajate mam ananibhag sadhureva samantavya. What Krishna said. So this applied for Ajamila also?
Yeah, he protects. But still you have to go some suffering and then Krishna gradually brings you back again. You understand? So the decision whether when you want to engage in the sin, just like you can or I can or anyone can, we can make decision that we want to engage in the sinful activity, even we're devotee. So can we say, oh, that is Krishna's leela? Krishna's leela is like that, therefore he is arranging that. Anyone can say like that. But we have to accept responsibility, we made decision. So Ajumil, I haven't read other story like that there is a leela of Krishna at some point, and actually, when you read, so many explanations are given, that he made the decision to engage in these sinful activities, and therefore he had to get. But because he chanted the name of Narayan very sincerely, Vishnu Dutas came to save him. When you read further, he went to the Haridwar and gave up with the sinful and practiced and until the old age, and then Vishnu Dutas came again and took him back home back to God.
Maharaj, he was...
In other words, Krishna never forsakes the devotee. He never forsakes. Maybe some devotee has to get reaction, but Krishna never leaves him. He makes an arrangement that he will be purified again and brought back again, just like Ajamil. So that much, that is sadhu evya. That is Krishna's mercy, that he brings you back again. He never leaves you. But you made decision to engage in sinful activity. Krishna doesn't want, but you made it, so therefore you have to get some kind. But Krishna never leaves you. He will bring you back again.
Thank you very much, Maharaj. Hare Krishna.
Just one last question. Any last question? Yes.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. Yes. This verse is about witnesses, Surya, Chandra, etc.
Yes.
In our life, we also see so many wrongful activities. And sometimes we don't report to the authorities and we keep mum. Is it aparad? Or should we have
it
to report?
It can be aparad. If someone is engaging in very sinful activities and someone doesn't take a reaction, or doesn't take any action rather, it is mentioned in the Shastra that you also have to, because you didn't know, I remember reading one story of a farmer, he was farming and someone was getting attacked by one vulture. And the farmer took no action. And then one rishi was passing by and he said, why you didn't take any action to help him? He was being attacked. So now you will have to get reaction for not acting properly. So yes, there is mention in the Shastras like that. If you witness something, if you something is very bad, someone committed the murder, just in ordinary law is like that. You didn't say anything, you didn't report, you can be also judged. So also the Shastras say similar thing like that. And that farmer had to come back in the next life to get the reaction, by the way, in that story then. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Shishi Radha Damodara ki, Sri Radha Rasa Bihari ki, Gaura Premanandi.